Representative Jeff Irwin from the Ann Arbor area. Representative Irwin, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Tony.
Thanks for being on the program. Let's talk about a new energy study that supports Michigan jobs, and now it's a Democratic proposal, investment in renewables and inefficient, that would help create jobs. Tell us about this study.
Well, of course, when I got to Lansing at the beginning of the year, creating jobs was one of the number one priorities that we had for state government as Democrats. And so some of us have put together a proposal to reinvest in our state. And, of course, when money is tight and you're looking to create jobs, sometimes you have to kind of go where the money is already. And one of the things that I've learned in my first 6 months in state government is that Michigan spends a lot of money on energy. Every year we send about $24 billion from our state, from Michigan, out of Michigan, to buy fuels. And so when you start looking at the opportunities around energy efficiency, it becomes quickly apparent that by investing in energy efficiency, investing in conservation in people's homes, simple things like insulation, windows, caulking, etc., by making those investments, we put people to work immediately, we create jobs in Michigan, and over the long term, and the long term isn't that long, we end up saving money. This money all comes back to us because we spend so much money every year on energy, curtailing just a small percentage of it quickly pays for these investments.
This study by the Union of Concerned Scientists was titled A Bright Future for the Heartland, and it basically says that Michigan is ripe for growth and has a lot of job creation potential if the money is put in. And HB 4758 would invest $400 million, as you mentioned, in schools, infrastructure, and renewable energy efforts. Where are we going to get the money?
Well, we already have the money, and that's what I was trying to point out earlier. We're spending these dollars already. This money is already being spent. And the question is, do we want to spend the money and waste it, or do we want to spend the money, gain the additional efficiency, and then roll those savings back into the investments? So the way to look at this, the right way to look at this, I think, Tony, is that we're going to pay for these energy efficiency improvements whether we get them or not. Let me say that again. We're going to pay for these energy efficiency improvements whether we get them or not. So if we put the money today, the money that Michigan is already spending, into energy efficiency, this pays for itself in a very short period of time and ends up costing nothing. It sounds kind of magical, but when you're spending $24 billion every year, sending that money every year out of your state to buy energy, it doesn't take a lot of efficiency and conservation to have it make financial sense. Now, in addition to, you know, this plan paying for itself, it also creates about 13,500 jobs, according to the study put out by the Union of Concerned Scientists. So this is sort of one of these win-win-win kind of issues that we're hoping to get the Republicans' attention on.
All right. If you talk about $400 million and we're already spending it, it's already been allocated, where are you going to take it from to put it into this bill?
Well, when this bill was first put out, the budget was not yet signed, and so these dollars were coming out of the state budget, and basically they were coming out of the dollars that were discovered, since that's not the right word, but when the May Revenue Estimating Conference came out and indicated that Michigan had an additional $400+ million in revenue, and the budget was already written, we thought that was an opportunity to take those dollars that were new dollars and reinvest them in a way that would return the investment and create jobs right away. Because when we came into office at the beginning of the year, one of our goals as Democrats was, let's create jobs right away. Let's invest in some programs that can put some people in Michigan to work right now. And that's one of the things that the governor and the Republicans in the legislature haven't done yet. They came to Michigan saying that jobs were job one, and we haven't seen a single piece of legislation that creates jobs. So far, all we've seen is legislation that cuts jobs.
Well, it could be said that the first on their agenda was to get a balanced budget, and they accomplished that, right?
Well, the state of Michigan's had a balanced budget every year for longer than I've been alive. It's a constitutional requirement that we have a balanced budget. And, you know, I applaud them for getting it done earlier in the year because I think the problem we've been having for the past several years is that because of divided government, the legislature and the governor weren't getting it done on time. They've always gotten a balanced budget in the past. That's legally required.
All right, well, I could hear Mama saying to me, Mr. Irwin, boy, Mr. Irwin's plan sounds good, but if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is.
Well, you know, I've been working on this energy efficiency stuff for quite some time, and it does sound too good to be true, and that's why I repeated that statement. We're going to pay for these investments whether we make them or not. Because we spend so much, because we frankly waste so much every year on energy, there's a tremendous opportunity to take the money that we're putting into that right now, spend it better, and spend it in a way that contributes to our health, to our economy, to job growth, and it's really one of these opportunities that is a no-brainer.
Do you support a new bridge from Detroit to Windsor?
I think we need another bridge. I'm really interested in the details of how it gets put out there. I mean, whenever you have an idea for a public-private partnership, one of the things that I like to keep an eye on is the public getting a fair shake in the deal? So I think we need another bridge, but I don't want to pass legislation that's going to be a giveaway of public money to some private interest in a way that is inappropriate or unethical or anything like that.
So I have talked with Republicans who say that they hear from the Democrats that they would support the new bridge, but they want a lot of other things tied into it. So as opposed to deciding do we need a bridge or not, there are Democrats that say, well, yeah, but I need this and I need that. Would you agree with that?
Would I agree with that? Is it tactic? No. I mean, I think that what those Democrats are saying is, you know, I've got some good ideas, like, for instance, this energy efficiency idea, and I'm being ignored. Don't you think you could take a look at some of these good ideas while you're tugging on my shirt to get me to vote for this bridge? I think that's what Democrats are saying, is we've been shy of the process. We haven't had our ideas given a real hearing, and some of the Democrats, I think, are using the bridge as an opportunity to try to get heard on some of these other important issues. I haven't heard anybody trying to use it as some sort of blackmail or anything like that, and obviously that would not be, you know, the right way to govern. But my concerns around the bridge are, I think we need it. I think it's important to have a second span for a number of reasons. But I am concerned about the details, you know, how this gets rolled out. It could be rolled out in a way where the public unequivocally wins, and it could be rolled out in a way where, you know, the public is essentially, you know, giving away a valuable, profitable asset without receiving enough consideration. So the details of the deal are important to me.
So are you saying that I'm out of my mind by saying that there would be anyone who would say to the governor, look, I'll get you the vote for the bridge, but I need this for the area that I represent, or I need this for that area in Detroit where the bridge is going to empty out into?
Oh, no, of course you're not crazy. I mean, that's, you've seen legislative sausage making. You're right there in Lansing. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that's happened, but I haven't heard anybody on my side, you know, putting it in any sort of quid pro quo way. It's, it's talking about the example that you throw out there. I have some colleagues who represent the areas that are going to be very affected by all this additional truck traffic, and their argument is that, you know, the residents in my area, need some consideration in order to make this a good deal for my community. If somebody was going to be putting in a project that brought thousands of additional trucks and all sorts of new pollution to my community, I would also be looking for ways to try to, ameliorate that harm. A lot of people are looking at this issue in a lot of different ways. I explained to you how I'm looking at it, and, you know, I haven't really heard any of that sort of quid pro quo in Lansing around this issue, but I have heard some Democrats, particularly, as you mentioned, the ones from Detroit, saying that it's important that, like with the Blue Water Bridge, there's some sort of agreement with the community about how this bridge project can contribute to redevelopment and revitalization in that particular part of Detroit, which, you know, I don't know if you've been down to the Del Rey neighborhood recently. I've had an opportunity to be down there, and it does desperately need some redevelopment. I mean, even if you look at historic Fort Wayne sitting right there, that's a real sort of historical jewel and a real jewel of the state park system that's been neglected for many years. So, you know, the state has some responsibilities down in that part of the world as well.
All right, before I let you go, what did you think about teacher tenure?
Well, the one thing about teacher tenure that I think is interesting is that most of the media reporting has focused on what I don't think is the core of it. The media reporting has largely focused on is changing the time limits and the number of years you have to spend to earn it and how you lose tenure and those types of things. There hasn't been enough focus, I think, on what is the worst part of the bill. The kernel of the change, the kernel of the reform to me, is that previous to the signing of this bill, if you wanted to fire a teacher who had tenure, you had to have just cause. There had to be a reason to fire this individual. Now, with this tenure reform, if a good teacher gets fired, their only recourse is to prove that their administration was arbitrary and capricious. So we've gone from a standard of innocent until proven guilty for good teachers who've proven themselves to a standard of guilty until proven innocent, and the duty to prove innocence is on, you know, the back of the teacher. That's a very fundamental shift in how we treat teachers who've proven themselves to be effective in the schools. And I think that's very problematic. I mean, if you've got a teacher who, speaks up in staff meetings on behalf of their students, or if you've got a teacher that maybe gave the school board president a bad grade, the son of the school board president a bad grade, or gave the captain of the football team a bad grade, sometimes the pressure is there to eliminate that person, and those kinds of people need protection, and now they're not going to have it. I think that's unfortunate.
State Representative Jeff Irwin is from Ann Arbor. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, sir.